Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Living and Savior Church today. Praise the King. It's good to have all of you here today. Fred, praise the Lord. And there's everybody's here today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I haven't seen Fred in a long time, though. I waved back there, and Ed waved at me, too, and I praise the Lord. I see Ed regularly, though. Praise God. He's here all the time. Oh, goodness. I'm grateful. Very grateful. There's several of you that have been missing for a while. You know, I mean, playing hooky or something here. I won't call any names here. I'll just point you out. Oh, goodness gracious alive. It's good that y'all are here. Praise the Lord. In the morning, Dave and I and Cheryl, we're going to go down to East Texas. I got to speak at a conference down there tomorrow, and it's supposed to start at 10 in the morning. And so I was talking to Dave earlier today, and I said, well, are we going to drive or fly in the morning? And I said, you know, you are all practiced up at driving. You know, him and his wife and family have driven to California and back. And of course, I think it took them two or three days coming back. You know, they've done a lot of driving. But Cheryl and I, last Tuesday night after Bible study, we left here. We had to pick up something, so we went in the truck, pickup, and we left here at 10:30 on Tuesday night after Bible study, and Cheryl drove until 6:30 in the morning, and then I drove for the next 13 hours, and then she drove for the next 2 hours, and after 22 and a half hours, we wound up in Salt Lake City, Utah. And actually Provo, which is just this side, just shortly of this side of, and then we got us a hotel room, spent the night, got a good night's sleep, got up the next morning, loaded the equipment that we purchased, and drove 22 and a half hours back home. So when we got up on Highway 70 way up there, 45 hours of driving in 3 days, I told her, I said, you know, I'd done a direct course from where we was across to Dallas, and I thought, you know, even if we were flying the 150 tonight, we could be home in 5 hours instead of 14. And so I said, I know why I fly, you know, because it's my goodness gracious alive. But anyway, I was also thinking that if we could have hauled what we were going to carry in our bigger twin-engine airplane, we could have went up there in 4 hours, picked it up, and come back in 4 hours instead of being 45 hours. But I couldn't get it in the airplane. It was too big. So anyway, I had to drive. So anyway, Dave and I decided that in the morning, you know, instead of getting up at 4:30 and driving to East Texas, we'll sleep in until about 7 or 7:30, and then we'll go out to the airport and get in the little Mooney and take us an hour to fly down there instead of 3 hours. So I'm spoiled to flying. You know that? It really makes it nice. I'm so grateful for the privilege to be able to fly an airplane. It just really makes life better. Well, we come to the Word today, the Word of God. I have had a question asked me several times by several people. A few have really written me some bad letters lately about some things that I've taught. And so they said they would be greatly... they would wait to see if I would humble myself and preach the truth. So today I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to preach the truth. Only I preached the truth before, but today I'm going to make it even more powerful than it was before. I'm going to use more scriptures to confirm to you what God's Word says. Now, some of you are not going to like it, you know, but that's the way life is, you know. Some people, when you preach the truth of God's Word, some people are offended by it. You know, they don't want to hear it. But I'm going to tell you that I didn't get to a place where I can pray for people and see God heal people and see Him do miracles by preaching something other than the truth. And so if you want to see God do healings and miracles and all these wonderful things, and of course, as I was telling Cheryl, I said, you know, we went down to a wedding, a family wedding with my family here a few Saturdays ago down in Brownwood. We went down there Saturday afternoon and went to the wedding and come back. While I was down there, my aunt, she's the only living relative of my dad, all the brothers and sisters, and only one I have left. But she is an elderly woman in her mid to late 80s. And while I was there, she said, Thurman, I have a great-grandson great granddaughter, she's a little bitty thing, and said her right leg is all turned out sideways and it will not straighten up. And she said, I have great faith in your prayers in Jesus. And she said, before you leave here, I want you to pray for my great granddaughter. Said Tuesday they're taking her to Dallas to the Medical Children's Hospital for tests to see what's going to have to be done to the leg. So we went over, prayed the prayer of faith, forgave the parents and all of them sin, because people just don't understand this principle of sin. So we forgave all their sins and prayed the prayer of faith for the child. And Wednesday, my aunt called me hysterical. They had taken the child to Dallas Tuesday, and the test results come back, and they didn't know why they brought the child up there. There was not anything wrong with his legs. That's why I love teaching the truth. God, He honors our prayers when we teach the truth, doesn't He, Ernest? And don't you love to see God answer your prayer, especially when it's a little bitty thing like that? It had nothing to do with this. You know, it couldn't help it because of the way mom and daddy lives. You know, and it's just so amazing to me that the children have to suffer for the sins of the parents. But they do. Now, a lot of people don't believe that either, but it's the truth. So today, I want us to go, first of all, to the first scripture. It's going to be James chapter 4, verse 7. James 4:7. And Jordan, I want to read these in both King James and NLT. I want really these to be shown. Now, in James 4:7, in the King James, you see there, it says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, the first thing that scripture says, before you can resist the devil, what do you have to do? Submit yourself to who?
God.
To God. Well, let me ask you this question. If you haven't checked it out in the Greek lately, what does the word submit mean in just plain English? It means obey. Obey. Humble yourself. That's another good humble. But the good meaning of the word submit is to obey God. Now then, if the scripture says obey God, then you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's what that's saying. So he says, submit yourself therefore to God. Now you hear a lot of people say when the devil comes upon you, just resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But that's not true. You have to take the scripture in its entirety. Now, I think about a woman one time. I was trying to get set free from a demon. I was resisting this devil. And this woman, I mean, this is before I knew a lot of these things. I had been in the ministry. I'm not actually myself. I had not become a pastor or anything like that. But I had stepped into this world of faith, and I was teaching things. And I had a woman I was trying to get set free. And when I spoke to her and commanded the devil to leave her, I was doing what this scripture says. I was resisting the devil, commanding him to flee from this woman. And this devil spoke out of this woman's mouth and says, no, I am not leaving. I have legal right to be here. And I thought, the Lord told me that devil's a liar. You know, he's lying to me. You know, he's not telling me the truth. I didn't understand this. I didn't understand the principle that if you break God's rule, you haven't submitted yourself to Him, you've sinned, then the devil has legal right. I didn't know that at that time. So after I continued to try to get this devil out of this woman, and she had tremendous back pains and everything. Now, this woman had already gone through a full hysterectomy. She had had all kinds of medical things that doctors could do, spent lots of money, gone through surgeries, pain and suffering, but she's no better. No better at all. Everything they did medically cost a lot of money, but it didn't help her at all. So when I'm trying to command this devil to leave, he was not leaving. And when he told me he was not leaving because he had legal right, and I thought he's lying to me, and so I continued to rebuke the devil, command him to leave, and the woman kept talking to me with a man's voice saying, no, I am not leaving. I have legal right to be here. Well, I finally prayed kind of silently. I said, Lord, this devil's lying to me. He says he has legal right to be here. He don't have legal right. And the Lord spoke to me and said, yes, he does. He's there because I sent him. Well, this was a new one on me as a Southern Baptist deacon, I'll tell you for sure. I had not learned that in church, I'll tell you for sure. And I said, Lord, you sent him? He said, yes. I said, why? He said, because of her unforgiveness toward her first husband. I said, oh my goodness. I said, ma'am, you have unforgiveness toward your first husband or her husband. He said, yes, she does. Said, whenever that second boy right there was born, he run off and left her in the hospital, didn't pay her bills or nothing, and never had anything to do with her after that day, and she's had to raise them two boys and pay her own bills and everything. Said she's hated him with a passion ever since he run off and left her, abandoned her. Well, it sounds like a good reason to hate him, doesn't it? But it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't give you the privilege to do that, does it? The Lord tells you to forgive. And so after the woman did forgive and everything, then that woman had submitted herself to God because she had been obedient to obey what God says when he says, forgive everybody from your heart. So it makes no difference who it is. If somebody has done something wrong to you, you have to forgive them from your heart. When you do, then you submit yourself to God. The minute she submitted herself to God, then I resisted the devil in this woman, and the devil immediately left. The woman was instantly totally healed. Her back pain and problems and everything she had had, the hysterectomy she had had, everything that had taken place, all the medical issues, all the money she had spent, didn't need to be spent. All she had to do was forgive her first husband. Then somebody that knew what they were doing rebuked the devil, and he would leave. And when the Lord says, submit yourself unto, therefore, to the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So see, if you don't submit to God, then the devil ain't going to leave you. If you sin, you have opened the door to the devil to come and torment you. And so God tells you what to do. He says, obey me. Submit yourself to me. Obey me. Now, most people do not know that. They do not understand these principles, but it's written right here in God's Word. So to start off with, this submission thing right here, who is this for? Men or women or both? Everybody. Everybody that's a Christian. If you're a Christian, you must submit yourself unto the Lord. Now then, let's go to Ephesians 5:22. And let's start there, Jordan. And we'll start out in the King James. Ephesians 5:22. Okay, now let's look at this one. Let's see, who does this start out with? Wives. Wives. Now, girls, this is to you. Now, the reason, I mean, these letters I got were from women. Now, then, I don't know if these women were still married or not. If I was guessing, I would say they're not. Because I'm going to tell you why women don't stay married. That women that don't meet the criteria of God's Word, if they don't do it, it's going to be hard to find a man you can live with. I mean, if you're a Christian woman and you become a wife of a Christian man, you take on a whole new role. In fact, I got real tickled. Rosemary's not here today, but she's down. She's had a new grandchild. She wouldn't mind if I tell this story. Rosemary came to me here a while back, and she said, Pastor, I want to tell you that, as you know, I'm not married. And she said, I have never submitted to a man, and I know that's why I'm not married today. It's because I did not submit to my husband like I knew I was supposed to. She said, I really didn't understand the principles, but I've never been a woman that submitted. And so she said, I know that's why I'm not married today. But she said, when I told God, when I heard you start speaking about this submission thing, she said, Lord, I'm going to submit to my pastor. I've never submitted to any man, but my pastor, when he tells me to do something, I'm going to believe he's a man of God, he's walking with God, and if he tells me to do something, he'd never tell me to do something that wasn't good for me. So she said, I'm going to submit to him in all things that he tells me to do. And she said, the minute I made that declaration, she said, God started answering almost every prayer I prayed. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, some of you have heard this over and over, and some of you may get tired of hearing this, but this is such a great testimony. Rosemary got to pray for a little boy the other day, a little boy, 6 or 7 or 8, whatever he was. And what happened, the little boy was playing with a pocket knife open, and he stuck it in his eye. And he split his eye wide open. Well, they carried him to the doctor, and a doctor checked him and said it was so bad he called in a specialist, and the eye specialist looked at it, and he said, the eye's ruined. It cannot be fixed. We'll have to take the eye out and put a glass eye. They put a bandage over the little boy's eye and said, we'll prepare for the surgery tomorrow. So they called the ministry center. And when the lady called and told Rosemary what happened, she said, I want you to pray that the surgery will go well. Now remember, Rosemary just recently has submitted herself to God and her pastor. She's fell in line with the Word for the first time in her life. She said, no, I will not pray that the surgery will go well. The God I serve is bigger than that. He made me promises that if I'll obey Him and do everything He says, I can ask Him for anything and He will do it for me. So she said, Father, I ask you to heal that little boy's eye. I want that little eye put back perfect. I want that little boy to grow up being able to see. In fact, when they take the patch off of his eye tomorrow, I don't even want a scratch on the lens of that eye. And I want to thank you, Father, that you told me I could pray this way, and I'm in obedience to your word, and so I am believing with no doubt in my heart you will fix his eye. Thank you, Lord. And the next afternoon, the woman called back and said they took the bandage off of the little boy's eye this morning to see how bad what they were going to have to do. And the first thing he said when they took the bandage off, Mama, I can see. And the doctor looked at his eye. The specialist looked at his eye. He examined the eye. And his statement was, I can't believe this. There's not even a scratch on the lens of the eye. It's perfect. You see? When you submit yourself to God and you do what the King says, then He will answer and honor your prayer. Well, this text a while ago we were talking about was to all of us, you and me as men and women. We have to submit to God to honor Him and walk in humility and humble ourselves before the King. But this statement here in Ephesians 5:22, He's talking directly to the wives. If you're a wife, He says, wives, submit. What does that word mean again? Obey. Wives, submit or obey yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, a while ago in James 4:7, we said, submit ourselves to who? God. To God. We're to obey God. Now then, the wife is to obey or submit herself to her own husband. Now, no woman has to submit to another man. When it comes to a man, each one of you have the same privilege in the kingdom. I mean, Deborah, you're not married, so you don't have to submit to no man. Only one you submit to is God. Amen. You know? Now, Cheryl down here, it's a different story. She's married. She's my wife. She has to submit to me, and she's a good submitter. Now, she told me when we got married, she said, honey, I have learned a lot in your ministry. I have never submitted to a man in my life. I don't know how to submit, but she said, I will work diligently at submitting to you. And she's done a good job. She's learning how to submit. She has submitted herself to God. She submits herself to me. And, of course, God answers her prayer. Amen. Now then, you come into a new realm, ladies, when you become a wife. When you become a wife, now no longer do you only have to submit yourself to God, but you have to submit yourself to who? Your husband. And you submit yourself to your as unto who? So there's no difference. You submit yourself to your husband just like you're submitting yourself to God. Is that what that scripture says? Okay, that's why I want this on the screen. I want you to see this. I want you to know this is not something that I put in the book. I want you to know the King wrote this book. I'm just teaching what He said. Now then, when I teach what He says and I walk where He tells me to, then He'll answer mine and your prayer. Right, Ernest? Yeah. So me and you got a job to do, don't we? Yes, we do. Now this one is wives. Submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. So it's not just kind of flippantly submit yourself to your husband. It's as unto God. So there's no difference. You're to submit to both of them the same. Somebody says, you mean I got to obey him, my husband. No, you don't have to. You can be rebellious if you want to. You can be sick and afflicted if you want to. Your children can be sick and afflicted if you want them. They can even die early. Somebody says, God would never do that to me if I didn't submit to my husband. Oh, yes, he will. We've had experiences in this church. I've had women come in here that have had their children sick and dying, and some of them have already killed one or two or three before they learned this. And then they learn that the reason their children are so rebellious, but because their children are sick and afflicted, is because they're rebellious and they're not obeying their husbands. And so they got all kinds of devastation. And of course, some of those women, when I first told them this, thought I was crazy. But whenever they finally fell in line with God's word, I mean, all the children get well. And we've got many stories of this. And these women that have had these experiences with God, they ain't never the same after this. I mean, they know. I mean, they see their children healed. In fact, I had one woman that we just took out to GLC, and her husband, and God told her, when I told her what she had to do, she literally thought I was crazy. And she said, Lord, I will never submit to my husband. It'll be over his dead body when I submit to him. And the Lord spoke to her and told her, said, no, it will be over your children's dead bodies. And so that got her attention. Now, she had already prayed that her husband would get killed in a car wreck so she could get double indemnity. That's how far out of love she was with her husband. But she didn't want to see her babies die. And when that woman fell in line with God's word and done what God said, not only did God reconcile that marriage, and today that couple's madly in love with each other, but he healed all three of their children. And one of those children, when he was 9, the oldest boy, was going to be an invalid and in a wheelchair within a few months. And within that few months, instead of being an invalid in a wheelchair, today the boy's 15 years old. He comes in here and he says he's going to be a preacher. I think, praise God, for a young man that's strong and running and playing. But Mama had no idea, because she didn't do what the Scripture says, it was going to bring sickness and disease to the child. But what did God's word say? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. You think God was just talking? Do you think he meant what he said? The Scripture says what he says. It says, and you're supposed to submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Now then, verse 23 and 24, let's go on a little further. Let's see here. This was wives. It says in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now, you may not like that, girls, but I'm sorry. I didn't write the book. You know, God wrote the book. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, if Christ is head of the church and I have to submit myself to him, that means I have to obey him. Is that right? So if the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, then ladies, if you're married to your husband, if you want to have a good, blessed life, you have to submit yourself to your husband. You have to obey him. Is that what that scripture says? Now, whenever a wife does not submit to her husband, it's going to bring all kinds of devastating things into the home, because she is in rebellion. And when she's in rebellion, there is all forms of evil in the house. So you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there at all. Then it says, and he is the savior of the body. Verse 24 says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, ladies, if you're married, how many things do you have to be in submission to your husband? In everything. I mean, now, this is not me making this declaration, is it? I mean, is this book the Word of God? If this book is God's Word, then the King wrote this book. It is my responsibility to teach you what he said. And I'm not to flounder around. I am to teach it exactly like He wrote it. Because, you know, in the book of Revelation, He said, if you take anything away from this book, I will take away from you and the kingdom. And if you add anything to this book, I will add the plagues unto you. Now, do you want to, you want God to take away from you or add things to you? Hey, I want to teach it just like He wrote it. Because He has given me responsibilities in here too. You know, but the wives that when you have a husband, you need to realize that when you get married, you know, you've heard this old story. I heard a pastor, many pastors make this statement. The two come together, a man and a woman, the two get married and become one. And then they go on the honeymoon and come back and they find out which one. You know, but, and then that happens. That happens. There is a lot of women that's running the show in their house. Now, those women that are running the show in their house, this is always when I find them and all the devastation and the sickness and disease and everything that's going on in their house, and I begin to explain to them the situation. They say, well, my husband's not capable to be the spiritual leader. He won't read the Bible. I mean, you know, that is your opinion. That may be your opinion that he's not capable of being the spiritual leader. But God didn't say that. God said your husband is the spiritual head of your house, whether you think he is or not. And he said you are to submit to him, whether he's a good leader or not. He is still to be the spiritual head of the house. See, but you know, we try to rationalize it. Well, my husband, he won't go to church with me. Well, when you married him, you should have thought about that. You know, you should have thought about what the scripture says when it says, you are not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Now somebody said, well, my husband did go to church with me before, or before we got married, neither one of us were Christians. And that happens all the time. A man and a woman are not Christians and they get married and then you got two people that are, don't have any idea how they're supposed to rule or run their life. Is that right? If you don't know this book, you don't have any idea how you're to run your life. And if people that are Christians that don't read the Word of God, they are just as bad off, even worse, because now God holds you accountable. Before you come to Him as Lord and Savior, He's not holding you responsible for your sins. So the devastation and the thing that goes on in the home of a man and woman to get married that don't have a clue how to do things, you know, you just got the devastation that's there. But God is not holding them accountable for those sins until one of them gets saved. When one of them gets saved, now He holds you accountable. Now, you think, that's hard to grasp, but that's what the Scripture says. In 1 Corinthians 5, it clearly says, until we get saved, God is not holding our sins against us. In other words, at any time you can come to Christ, and when you do, He'll forgive every sin you've ever committed and wash away your slate and make you white and brand new perfect. He's not holding your sins against you. But once you come into His kingdom and you become His child, it's a different thing. He now holds you responsible for every sin you commit. So, technically speaking, when we become God's child, how many sins are we supposed to commit? None. That's right, none. We're not supposed to sin after that. See, most of us don't even know that. I've had a lot of people tell me, as I've taught these principles right out of His Word, with Scripture after Scripture after Scripture to confirm it. They'll say, but Thurman, we live in an age of grace. God doesn't mind if I sin a little. He doesn't mind if I don't obey my husband. You know, I'm in the age of grace. I said, no, that is not true. And I can show you in the Word. But it goes against our grain. We don't want to do what God says. And you don't have to. But you certainly will be sick and afflicted if you don't do it, right? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be sick and afflicted. Amen. I'd a whole lot rather get up in the morning and be healthy, hadn't you? Amen. Amen. And it pays great dividends to do it God's way. And I have been privileged to do that. Now then, let's go on to verse next. Let's go on to just keep going down that scripture. That's a good one. Let's go on down, and we're in the King James. So Okay, now then, what's the first word in that line? Oh, okay, now these girls are saying, good, I'm glad the guys have got a responsibility too. I mean, you know, it's always ladies first, so of course God put the first in their wives. You submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Now, somebody stop right there, and the guys, they read it and say, look at your wife and say, you see what that said? Oh, you see what that, you got to submit to me. Okay, but guys, it ain't over. The next line you see, it says, now that he's talking directly to you husbands. Now, you young men, or you men that's not married, he's not talking to you. But if you got a wife, he's talking to you. He's calling you a husband. Husbands, love your wives. Uh-oh. But somebody said, my wife is not lovable. Then you're going to have to make her lovable. You're going to have to love her anyway. He didn't say if she's a lovely creature and she does everything she's supposed to do and she gets up early and goes to bed late and fixes you lunch and breakfast and dinner and everything in between, you know, it just falls and everything. He tells you, husbands, love your wives. And he even goes so far as to tell you how to do it. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How much are you supposed to love your wife? Oh, you're supposed to love her even if she's not lovable. Is that what he said? Amen. You love her regardless. Now, if you've got a good woman, a good sweet woman, it's a whole lot easier to love one that's lovable. Amen. But let me tell you, they're all not lovable. There's some of them out there that's a little hard to get along with. Amen. You know? And that's why some of you are not married. You know, I find, that's just like a man came to me one time and he said, I'm writing a book. I said, okay, what's it about? He said, it's how to stay married. I said, okay. I says, first of all, I know who you are. And I said, I know your background. And I want to tell you that I don't think you qualify to write the book. He said, Thurman, what makes you think that? I said, you've been married 3 times and didn't make it with 3 women. I said, it's obvious you have not found the answer of what it takes to make a woman happy. I said, if you've been married 3 times and you're now divorced, you are not qualified to write a book on how to stay married. I said, now then, if I was looking for somebody that could tell me how to stay married, I'd want to find a man that had been married 30, 40, 50 years to the same woman, and him and his wife were happy, and they had good children, and everything was going good, and their life was being blessed, and there was no sickness and disease in their family, then I'm listening to what that man's got to say. Amen. If I walk in and I walk up to his wife and I say, ma'am, tell me about your husband. And she said, wow. He's awesome. I love him. He's the best thing ever happened to me. I said, all right. Now then, let's go over and talk to this guy. What are you doing that's right? If your wife is that happy, that's just like one night a man and woman stood right here, young couple, probably 30. He had brain tumors. He had heard about our ministry. He came up here and he said, sir, I come out of a Baptist church, but I heard about your ministry and I need you to pray for me. I've got brain tumors. And I said, you don't want to die, do you? He said, no, I don't. I'm too young. I said, how's your sin life? You commit any kind of sin? He said, well, I think I'm doing okay. I said, how's your walk with your wife? He don't even look at her. He said, it's okay. I look over at her and I said, ma'am, how's your love walk with your husband? And she immediately started crying. I said, I'm going to tell you why you're sick. I said, you've got a problem with your wife. And your wife, when I ask a woman, how's your love walk with your husband? She starts crying. I mean to tell you, it ain't good. And I said, what's the problem? He said, well, she did something I don't like and I got a grudge against her. I said, okay, forgive her. No. I said, well, if you don't forgive her, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get healed. He said, but I want to be healed. I said, then you got to do it God's way. God said in His Word to forgive everyone from your heart. What do you think He means when He says forgive everyone from your heart? You think He means that? Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. after you confess your sins one to another, then the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man for that man will heal him. But if that man's not willing to confess his sin, not willing to forgive his wife, I said, you ain't going to get well. I said, he said, well, I'm not going to forgive her. I said, okay, tell you what, let me tell you one other thing too. It's going to kill you. The brain tumor is going to kill you because you're grudge against your wife. And I said, let me tell you something else. I believe with all my heart, if you die in that sin of not forgiving your wife, since God said, if you don't forgive your wife, I will not forgive you. I have a hard time believing that God, when you die, when you show up at the gates of heaven, and he says, oh, who are you? Well, I'm John Doe. Oh, you're the one that had the unforgiveness towards your wife. Well, yes, Lord. Well, since you didn't forgive her, I can't forgive you, so I can't let you in heaven. Into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of the teeth, and into hell go. He said, I'm washed in the blood. I said, you know, there's one thing I ain't never going to do. I ain't never going to die with an unforgiveness in my heart, knowing the Scripture like I do, because I am completely convinced if you die with unforgiveness in your heart, you will spend eternity in hell. I said, now I may be wrong, but I sure ain't going to die in it and put him to the test, I'll tell you for sure. I don't care what that woman did to me. Would it be worth spending eternity in hell for? Do you know how long eternity is? You know how long a minute is? Time is relative to what you're enjoying. I can be holding my honey bunny in my arms and kissing on her, and 5 minutes goes by just like that. You know that? I can be sitting there holding her. We can be talking or whatever. Or we may be just driving down the road, you know, just enjoying life. And I look over and it's 2 o'clock. And I look over 5 minutes later and it's 4 o'clock. We're just driving down the road. All we're doing is talking. I thought, my goodness, we was having fun, wasn't we? Life was going by. But let me tell you what. When you stick your finger over in a fire and touch a hot skillet, 1/10 of a second is a long time, isn't it, John? When you touch a hot skillet, you can't get off of it fast enough, can you? And as you leave your skin there, let me tell you, that 1/10 of a second that took all the skin off my finger seemed like a longer than that 2 hours me and Cheryl driving down the road talking together, because I was enjoying what I was doing talking to her. But I wasn't enjoying that finger in that fire. So I can't even imagine holding my finger on that hot skillet for 2 hours, can you? No. So I'm not even going to chance that. So it says, husbands, love your wives. How are you supposed to love them? As Christ loved the church. And he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. All right, let's go to the next couple of verses. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Not having a single spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now the church is by the water, the washing of the water. This is the word of God that we're reading. If we read this and obey it, it cleanses us and purifies us and makes us without one single spot or blemish. Is that what he's saying? We are to be holy. So ought men, as he talked about, so ought men to love their wives. Okay, now that word men there is the same word husbands. So ought husbands to love their wives. So that word can be translated either way, men or husbands, but he's talking about a man that's married that has a woman that is part of him. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. If you don't love your wife, you don't love yourself. You won't take care of yourself. You might even be a slob. You know, you might just never dress up, never wear nice clothes, you know, never do anything. You don't care. You might not shave, you know, brush your teeth, nothing. You know, you don't love yourself. If you love yourself, you're going to take care of your body. Now, don't be like the young men. There was a story, and I know it was a story, but it's kind of true. There was two men that looked to be extremely old sitting on the corner. And a young man walked up one day, and they were both gray-headed and had long beards and everything else. And he walked up and he said, looked at this one man there, and he says, wow, what do you contribute your long life to? He says, loving God, serving Him, going to church, reading His Word every day. He said, wow, how old are you? He said, 96. He said, well, boy, you really look good to be 96. Looked at the other young boy and said, what do you contribute your long life to? He said, drinking a fifth of whiskey every day, sleeping with a different woman every night, cussing and doing all these bad, everything bad I can think of. He said, good grief. How old are you? He said, 26. Now, both of them look the same. Does loving God make a difference in your longevity of your life? Absolutely. If you obey God, it will give you a long life. If you don't, it will make you old and old looking when you're young. So, ought men to love their wives as their own bodies? He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Okay, Jordan, let's go to the next couple. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord, the church, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bone. Now, if you are a born-again Christian, how far is God from you? He is in you. This, Colossians 1:27 says, for this is a mystery that was hidden before the foundation of the world, Christ in you. So if you're a born-again child of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is living and dwelling in you. Just to whom God would make it known, that was the riches and glory, the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, so right there the Scripture confirmed, if you were born again, child of God, this is the mystery was hidden. Now then, as children of God, when you walk in somewhere and shake hands with someone, you need to realize that if they're a born again Christian, you're shaking hands with another member of the body of Christ. In fact, I was telling someone just last night, I said, you know, when we get out of sorts with someone, especially our mates, if we were talking to someone, and I'll use Ernest here, he's a good guy. If Ernest got upset at Esther, and I know they never do that, you know, but anyway, if they did, and he was got a little upset with her and sharp with her, and he's standing there talking to her, and all of a sudden, she turned in to Jesus. You might change your attitude.
I would.
You would. You need to realize that when you talk to that beautiful lady, you're talking to Jesus, right?
Yes, sir.
Christ is in her. Right. Now see, when we get a hold of that picture, we'll love her like Christ told us to, right, Ernest?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, we will. And again, too, because if you want your prayers answered.
Yes, sir.
And you do that too, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you gotta love her like that. You've got to do it God's way. Now let's go back over to Ephesians there. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord, the church, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Now then, the next couple of verses there. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, when he's talking about the two shall leave, the man shall leave his family and come and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is the most intimate time when a man and a woman come together as one in a sexual relationship. You can't get no closer together than that. It's now then man and a woman, you're together, you're one, you're tied together. But he's trying to say here, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. In other words, this is the intimacy God wants with you. When you're in this Word like that, and you're spending time with Him, worshiping Him, and doing what He says, this is how intimate you are with God. You're in Him, and He's in you, and you're one. You're no longer two. And that's what He's trying to share with you there. That's Paul's trying to use a relationship between a man and a woman, something that we can understand. Now, when you understand the holiness of this intimacy between a man and a woman, you'll learn that God says, never, ever, ever is this oneness to be done outside of a marriage relationship. Never.
Amen.
You're never to join yourself with someone sexually outside of the boundaries of marriage. Amen. Never. Under no conditions is what the Scripture says. And if you do that, He goes so far as to say in His Word that if you do that, I will destroy your temple. In other words, I will make you sick. I will afflict you. I will kill you because you're defiling a temple of God. You're joining me to a prostitute. And He said, I don't like it. Now, this is for either the man or the woman. This ain't just a woman. This is a man or the woman. If you're a man, you're to never have sex with nothing or no one other than your wife. That's God's promises in His Word. And He don't like it when we don't do it any other way. I mean, if you do, you can be forgiven. But there's many a man out there today. It's like a young man come to me the other day and he said, I got to have prayer. Now, he was divorced. He had been married. I said, what's your problem, son? He said, I've caught a venereal disease. I said, so you're out there dabbing in the world, aren't you? He said, yes, I am. He said, I've done that. Do you know a man and a woman can get married and have sex all they want all their life and never have to even be concerned about venereal disease? You don't get it. A man and a woman married never have venereal disease. It only comes from those that are promiscuous. You know, that's the way it is. You'll never catch it from a person you're married to. It won't happen. But you open the door to demons when you don't submit yourself. This is a great mystery. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverences her husband. Now, I mean, this is not something that I made up. This is a scripture. This is a man and a wife's position. Is it written? It's in your book. Now then, let's go to another place. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Let's find out if it's in the Word anywhere else. Colossians 3, 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, who are you supposed to forgive?
Everybody.
And above all these things, put on love, charity, love, which is the bond of perfectness. What is that that perfects you? What is the bond that puts us all together as Christians? Love. Love. This is what we got to do. Love. Okay, the next couple of verses. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, how many of us as Christians go through the day and never say, Lord, I'm thankful for this day? How many of us go and sit down and drink a glass of water and never say, Lord, I'm thankful for this glass of water? Take it for granted. Oh, but God owes me that. No, God don't owe you nothing. You know, I mean, it would be easy to say, I'm thankful, Lord, if you were in the middle of the desert and hadn't had a drink for 3 days. I mean, it would be, some people wouldn't even say thank you then. But you know, I'll make a declaration. If you will say thank you, Lord, every day for everything, I mean, every drink of water you take, every bite of food you take, if you're thankful to Him and tell Him that verbally, tell that, you won't never be in that desert 3 days. You won't be there. I can assure you, sickness and disease will not come upon your body. If you obey God and do what He says, I know. I walked the first 35 or 40 years of my life and had numerous sickness and disease. And then I began to learn these principles from studying God's Word. And the last 25 years of my life, I've not had any sickness and disease. Amen. Praise God, I love it. Amen. I love not being sick, don't you? I love it, but you've got to obey Him. Amen. And He says there, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. And then He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. When you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, how in the world are you going to let the word of God dwell in you richly if you don't get in it every day and study it? If you don't get in His Word, it cannot dwell in your hearts richly. You can't let it dwell in you. I mean, I remember When I finally made the commitment, in fact, one of the men I was talking to a while ago, he said, I made a commitment that I'm going to read through the whole Bible. So in 3 months, he read everything out loud from Genesis to maps. In 3 months. He said, now I'm going back and I'm taking the Bible and I'm reading little pieces slower and beginning to study it. Well, I did that years and years and years ago. And when I begin to take this book apart, I begin to find these things like we're going through. Oh, Lord, if this is in here, I have a problem. I'm not doing some of these things. I know some of you guys have been just as guilty of this as I have. You know, and back in those days, God didn't answer our prayers either, did he, Ernest? No, he did not. Well, we prayed, but he didn't do nothing. Well, it just wasn't his will. No, it was me. The problem was right here with me and you. That's what the problem was. You know, we've learned that now, haven't we, Ernest? So we're trying our best to correct it, though, right? We're going to walk in love. Now then, now let's go to the next couple of verses. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Do what in the name of the Lord?
All.
For Christians, everything you do, you should ask God's permission to do it. You know, I don't care what it is. If you're going to build a building, you ought to ask the Lord, right? I mean, every day you ought to pray over what you're going to do today, and your life will go a lot better, won't it?
Amen.
Amen. It did mine, I guarantee. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. See, giving thanks for everything. Now then, let's see what the next verse says. Let's go on and, let's go to the next verse. And then, here is that word again. Some of you girls see what that first word is? What does it say? Wives. Oh, okay. And what does it say again? Wives do what? Obey. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now, here's another place in the Bible. So he didn't just put that in there one place, did he? See, you reckon he must really mean this, girls? He must have meant it. Okay, so it's real easy for us guys to say that when we're talking to you girls, that you remember, honey buddy, you have to submit to me. you hear what she just said? Remember, you got to love me like Christ loved the church. You got to be able to give your life. See, anytime you put a finger out there, there's always three of them pointing back at you, right? So wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Okay, the next verse. Uh-oh. Here, this thing, guys, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now, it doesn't mean what they do. Can you get bitter with your wife if she don't do something? No, you've got to love her. Now, guys, God wasn't just talking to these girls, was he? I mean, it's real easy for us to pull this out and say, wives, you got to submit to me. I'm going to do what I want to do. I ain't going to do nothing for good for you. I'm going to be the authority in this home and I'm going to run it, rule it with a rod of iron. Well, that's not what God told you to do, is it? He told you to love that girl. And there is a responsibility. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Then he says, children, obey your parents in how many things?
All
things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, let me tell you, men and women, as you submit yourself to God, those little children, when you raise them up, you're going to find out, for those of you that are older, that have been past the teenage range yourself and had your own children, those little critters will show you what it is to not be submissive. They will not be submissive. They will walk all over your heart. They will break your heart. They will do all kinds of things. And you know why they do those kind of things? It's because you were not submissive. You didn't obey. And God is showing you exactly what price you're having to pay because you didn't do it His way either. That's not fun, is it? I think we ought to learn the principles up front. We need to learn daddies love mother. Wives submit and obey daddy. And they do it all in love. Then when the children are coming up, when they're a little rebellious and start to rebel or start to throw a little temper tantrum, daddy gets the little switch out and says, whap, we don't do that. We're children of God. Gently, you know, not screaming, not thrashing them, you know, but tapping them and letting them know, amen, I'm in control, not you. See, now God does that to us as we go through life. We wonder why we have the stripes. You know, people don't understand this, but, you know, it's in the scripture, and it says that if you don't know my rules, then I will beat you with few stripes. But he said, if you know my rules and disobey them anyway, I will beat you with many stripes. Now, that's scary, isn't it? So, who you going to get beat one way or the other? Is that what he said? So, you ain't going to get off, are you? So, see, a lot of people go through life not understanding why all the things happen to them. They just don't understand. Why do they not understand? Because they never spend any time reading this book. This is the rule book, owner's book for life. Well, when you begin to study it and read it, he says to your children, obey your parents in all things. Jordan, ooh, you're a child, aren't you? And you still got a daddy at home, and you have to obey him, don't you? Yes, he does. He knows that. He was raised up in a family that taught him that. Amen. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, if a child obeys their parents, what is this well-pleasing? I mean, does it make the Lord happy?
Yes, sir.
So you think if we, as his grown children, if we obey him and do what he says, is he happy with us?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. It works exactly the same. It says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, don't provoke your children to anger, you know, because they will be discouraged. It's going to take some loving, kind work as you raise up these children. Now, let's continue on down to the next couple of verses. Then he says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Who is a servant? Do you work for somebody for a living? You're a servant. If you work for another man or another woman or another company or whatever, you are to obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. In other words, if your boss tells you to do something, what are you to do? You're to do what he says. What if you don't like what he tells you to do? What if he goes out there and says, you know, we got a bunch of loose bricks right here on this side today, and I want you to throw them over that 4-foot-high fence on the other side? Okay, so you go out there and throw them over. You get them all thrown over, and they paid you. You know, you work 4 hours doing that. Then he goes out and says, I've decided I want them back over here. You go back over and throw them back on this side. What are you to do? Go over there and throw them back across. If that's what you're doing, he's paying you. He makes note of where the brick are going. He's paying you. You know, so if he's paying you, you do it like the man says. In fact, there was a man, I was an engineer by trade for years, and I built buildings and designed equipment, done all kinds of stuff. There was a young man that came out to the minister center, and he had a drug problem and everything. We was trying to get him set free and everything. And so while he was there, I had some little chores that I wanted him to do. And he said, within the next first week or two, he told Dave one day, he said, you know, I found out some things about Thurman. He said, if you want to make Thurman happy, if he comes out and tells you he wants it done this way, you do it the way he said. And he said, if you do, he'll praise you. He'll be easy to get along with. You won't have a single problem with Thurman. But he said, if he tells you to do it some way and you do it your way, you're going to have a problem with him. Ain't that amazing? Now, see, I'm a little bit like God there. If God tells me as a husband to love my wife and I don't, me and God's going to have a problem, aren't we? I'm going to have a problem with the king. And you know who's going to win when the problem between me and the king? He is. You ain't joking. I don't have a chance, do I? Tom, I'm not much of a battle. I mean, not much of a whatever you want to call against God, am I? I mean, all he's got to say is, okay, son, if that's what you want to do things, is snap his fingers and it's over, right? I mean, after all, he's the boss. And if you think you get bigger than God, I don't want to be close to you. You know? Anytime you think you're bigger than God, I want to be way away from you because when that lightning strikes, I don't want to be close. You know? Now, God's merciful. And he's very, and Cheryl and I was talking about that on the way to work or way to church today. We're thinking how grateful that we are that God is so merciful, because we know here's two of his children that neither one of us would be here if he wasn't merciful.
Amen.
You know that, John? You know that too, don't you? Yeah. Aren't we grateful that He is so merciful because He told us what to do, and every one of us have broken these rules at one time or another, haven't we? Yes, we have. Now then, let's go on to the next couple of verses. Oh, verse 23, before we leave there, Jordan. And whatsoever you do, what does that include? Whatever you do, how are you supposed to do it? Heartily. What does it mean to do something heartily? Do it good with all of your heart. It don't mean you go to work for somebody, and that's just like when I went to work for Dallas Automotive years ago as a young man. I went to work in this place, and after I only worked there just a few weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, the foreman came up to me and he said, "Son, slow down." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "The guy sitting here next to you has been working 7 years and you're building more turbochargers than he is." He said, "You're making him look bad." I said, "Well, I'm not in a hurry. I'm just working." I said, "This is just the speed I work." I said, "I'm not working fast." I said, "If I was working fast, I could build another one of these in a day." And I said, "In fact, I'm going to show you." And so the next day, I built about 3 of them things in one day. He said, "Nobody in this plant can do this. And I've only been here 2 or 3 weeks. I said, "But this ain't this a piece of cake." But see, I didn't even know why I was doing it so heartily. Because I was a born-again child of God. I'd become a Christian when I was 11. So my mother and my daddy had always taught me, "Whatever you do, son, work at it diligently." I mean, when we went out, Mama sent me out to hoe the garden. Man, I didn't go out there and lean on that hoe and hit a weed here and there and wait to see if Mama's going to come looking. Mama said, "Son, go out and hoe the garden." Man, I took the hoe out there and I'm working. I'm hoeing them weeds down and I'm knocking them down because I want to get through and go play. But whatever I do as a Christian, I'm to do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto man. Because who is going to give me my final reward? The Lord. The next verse. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Who's going to give you your reward? The Lord is. Now then, you work diligently and heartily at whatever you do on this earth. And so maybe you never prosper and have a great big job that provides a lot of money where you can live in a great big house and drive a $100,000 car and all that stuff. Maybe you drive a little $5,000 car. And maybe you live in a little, you know, who knows, one bedroom room or house or whatever. Whatever. But if you do everything you do diligently as unto God, I can tell you when you get home one day, your mansion will be out of this world. Out of this world. See? Because He's going to want to be that. But he that doeth wrong. Uh-oh, one more verse here. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Uh-oh. You can't say now that because Cheryl is a girl and she's a daughter, "Oh, God loves me more than he does you." No. He don't love me no more. He don't love her no more. He holds both of us accountable the same. And if we do things diligently as unto him, he will give us a blessed reward. But if you don't do this, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. You go out as a child of God and do something wrong, you're going to receive judgment for it. God's going to judge you. We don't want that, do we? I don't want the king judging me. Now let's go to 1 Peter 3, verse 1. 1 Peter 3, 1. Likewise, oh, that's that word wives again. I mean, you girls, I don't like this if I was a woman, do you? No, you better like it, because this is what God has told you. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, any of your husbands obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife. You know what that means? That quiet, gentle spirit. You're a daughter of the king. Don't go in to your husband. He's a lost guy. You don't come in and say, "You slob, go to church with me this Sunday." You ain't never going to get him to go to church with you like that. You ain't going to get him to go to church if you walk in and say, I'd love for you to go to church with me today. Would you go to church with me? Please, will you go to church with me? No, 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 no. That ain't going to get him there either. You just get ready on Sunday morning and go to church. He said, where are you going? He said, well, I plan to go to church today, honey. I want you to go out to dinner with me. You don't want me to go to church? When do you want me to go? Can I go to church first and then come back? No. I want you to go out to dinner with me right now. Okay. I'm dressed. Let's go. I'm ready. That's submission to your husband. You know that? No argument. Kind, gentle, sweet woman. And you go. Well, the next Sunday, you know, you come in. Wives, be in subjection, submission to your own husband. You get up. You're going to go to church again. And he says, where are you going? Well, honey, I plan to go to church. I'm a Christian. I know Jesus. And I'm going to go to church. I'd love for you to go with me if you'd like. No, I don't want to go. I want you to go out to dinner with me again today. Okay. What time? After church? No, I want you to go right now. Okay. I'm dressed. Let's go. Somebody says, I can't do that. Well, according to that scripture, you can. If you do obey what God says, you can. So you, that quiet, gentle, loving spirit obeying your husband. One day, he comes and says, what are you doing this morning? Well, I'm going to church, honey. I'm all dressed up. He says, you know, maybe I'll just go with you today. Amen. Well, I'd love for it too, but you know, if you don't want to, that's okay. Don't jump over and say, oh, this is what I've been waiting for. You just blew it. Well, in second thought, I ain't going. Don't make him think you're having anything to do with it. Let him make the decisions. Hey, that's the way men are made. You got to fool them. I'm letting out some of my secrets, girls. You gotta love him. Is that what the scripture is saying? In your quiet, gentle spirit. And he says, yeah, I think I will go to church with you. Okay, I'd love for you to if you want to, but if you don't, that's okay too. But yeah, I'm going with you today. Are you sure you want to go? Yeah, I want to go. Okay. And don't say a thing to him all about the service. Let him listen. Let God work on him. And everything when he gets home, he might say, well, I don't know whether I want to go down there or not. I didn't like much what that preacher said today. Don't jump in there and say, well, you need to hear what he said. That's a wrong thing to say, girls. That's a wrong thing to say. Have that. What did God say you're supposed to do here? What did he say? Be in subject to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation or the quietness and gentleness of the wife. If you're that quiet, gentle wife, wow. Let's go to the next verse, Jordan, see what it says there. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Let's go to the next verse too. Now, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. Now, what's that? Flip that over in the NLT right there. Let's read that in the NLT, verse 2 and 3. By watching your pure godly behavior. Don't you like that? By watching your pure godly behavior, don't be concerned about the outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. Just be that sweet, beautiful woman. Now then, dress nice. If you can't afford high-dollar fancy clothes, which some can't, then just make sure you have a nice dress or top or whatever, and make sure you smell good and your hair looks nice. You don't have to have all the gold and the braid and all that kind of stuff, but look nice for your husband. Amen. Probably whenever you were dating him, you probably, you know, you would have never went out with him if you were really a lady. If he come over to your house one day and said, I'm coming over to your house, I'd like to take you out to dinner. And you've been out in the garden and you're digging and you're dirty and you're stinky and you hadn't brushed your teeth today. You probably would say, come on over. I'll be ready in a minute. 1 minute. I'll just go with you just like I am. Forget it. You ain't going like that, are you, Nessie? No. I mean, you ain't going with your husband like that. You're going to say, oh, you got to give me at least a half hour. I'm out working. I got to get cleaned up. So you got to run and shower, brush your teeth, comb your hair, and at least put on something clean and nice and smell good when he comes in. So he's a little bit impressed. You know, is that right?
Amen.
Sure. Now then, that's what the Lord's telling you to do. But you don't have to put on all these fancy jewels and gold and diamonds. And I see people, women, especially when I see a woman that's really, you know, done well in life, and or her husband's done well in life, and whenever I see them, you know, they can't hold up their hand because all the diamond rings all over them. But they hold them up like this, you know, make sure you can see them. I want to tell you, ladies, that don't impress me at all. I want to know how godly you are. I want to know how beautiful you are from that inward woman. That outward woman don't mean a whole lot to me. I'd a whole lot rather be married to one that was that beautiful, sweet thing inwardly than had all the diamonds dripping off of her. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. Then let's go to the next two. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within. He's talking to you ladies. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Now, girls, you want to make God happy? Do you? You should. That should be your desire to make God happy. And he's talking about that beauty that comes from within, that unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. In other words, a gentle and quiet spirit is not one that screams at her husband, is it? That's not a gentle and quiet spirit. So when you do that, that doesn't please God. Now, he says that is the way the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. Now, sometimes whenever your husband starts to do something, you go down and you go to an investment deal together. And when you get through listening to that, he looks over at you and says, honey, what do you think about that? Now, then the woman has the ability to communicate right and left brain instantly. You don't have that ability, men. That's the way God made you. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. I didn't make us, did I? God did. But the woman can communicate right and left brain instantly. The man cannot. In other words, what she may get instantly may take you an hour or a day to get it. So if she looks over to you and says, I think that's the best investment I've ever seen, you need to listen to her. At least listen. And then you're going to make a decision. And you may make the right one, or you may listen to her, and she says, you know, I don't think we ought to touch that. I don't think that's going to be good for our business. And you look at it and you think, nope, I'm going to go this way. Now, what is the wife's responsibility at this point? Okay, honey, we'll go your way. You're the head of the house. She knows he's made a wrong decision. I mean, she knows it. Now, if she's going to be that quiet, gentle woman, she's going to say, okay, you're the spiritual head. And then in a week or a month or 6 months, whenever that fails and it comes back, if she's the good woman, she won't run in and say, you dummy, I told you. Now, see, some women do that, though. Some women will come right back. Wife, I mean, she'll come back and say, see, you dummy, I told you 6 months ago you shouldn't have done that. Now, see, if you'd have listened to me. Well, those kind of women don't stay married very long. Those kind of women don't stay married. You know, said, and the man comes back and says, I should have listened to you. She said, well, I just told you what the Lord showed me. You know, now, but you're the final authority. You know, so we learned a lesson from this. We're going to try to do better next time. That's that woman's quiet, gentle spirit. When that woman walks like that, next time that she talks, he'll listen. He'll listen. But if she don't come back at him, you know, but if she keeps that quiet, gentle spirit. Listen to what he says. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious. And that is the way the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. Their husbands had authority. They accepted it, even when they knew he was wrong. But they didn't tell him. They just give them their input. Now, husbands, anytime you don't ask your wife's advice, you're a real dummy. You're a real dummy. If you don't ask your wife's advice and listen to what she has to say and then run it around and don't make quick decisions on what your wife says, because your wife, like I said, this is an absolute scientific fact. A woman can communicate right and left brain instantly, and us men cannot do that. That link between our right and left brain is severed, and some things will take an hour, and some things will take up to 2 or 3 days for that communication to come. So guys, you women, be understanding with your husbands. He doesn't have the ability to concentrate and think like you do. He can't do it. Some of you guys say, I'm smarter than my wife any day. Well, no, you're just a dummy, that's all. You just don't know. Listen to her. Listen. And then give it a day or 2 or 3 to run around in your head before you make the decision. Because you might find out she's right. You know, but regardless, when the decision's made, whose decision is it to make the final decision? The husband. And then the wife is to have that gentle, quiet spirit. I mean, even though he may make the wrong one, if he makes the right one, don't jump in there and say, whoa, you listen to me this time, so this is going to be okay. Don't do that. You know, don't do that. And the next verse, Jordan, what does verse 6 and 7 say? For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband. Now, how many of us know who Sarah was? That was Abraham's wife. I mean, she was a daughter of the king. I mean, Abraham turned out to be the father of many nations. And for instance, Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, when she called him her master. Now, I want you to flip that over into the King James. And I want you to see what this says in the King James. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, she called her husband Lord. Some of you, this is the way some of you women will do it. You'll make a decision and she'll say, yes, Lord. That's not the way he meant for you to do that, was he? So when you talk to your husband, you should call him Lord. In the NLT, what did it say? Your husband is your master. Is this written in God's Word, folks? Okay. It says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, he says, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and not are afraid with any amazement. Okay, let's flip back over to the NLT on that one, on verse 6. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, when she called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear and what your husbands might do. In other words, you love your husband. You're gentle to him. You know that if you're walking in love, you know that regardless what he might do, what he might say, or the decisions he might make, who does God hold responsible in your home for the decisions? The husband, not the wife. He holds the husband. What does he hold the wife responsible for? Being subject to her husband, obeying him. Is that what the Scripture says? And it said, if you do that, you do it just like Sarah. Sarah was one of God's daughters. And God loved her. And he says, if you, ladies, obey your husbands like that and call your husband Lord or your husband Master. In fact, when you do it right, that's just like here a while back. We were fixing to make a decision, and I called Cheryl on the telephone. We'd been talking about something, and she had already given me her input and everything. And when I called, and she saw it with my number, this is the way she answered the phone. Yes, my Lord. What does that make a man feel like when his wife says that? Makes you feel like a giant. It makes you know that your wife loves you. And she's willing to listen to your decisions when she says, yes, my Lord. Now, see, she had read this Scripture, obviously, hadn't she? Now, what do you think that did between her and God that day? What, was God pleased with her that day? He was pleased with her. See, very pleased, because he said so in the Word, didn't he? See, and It says, you are her daughters when you do what is right. Verse 7 says, in the same way, you husbands, you must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. If you don't treat her as you should, oh, that next line. Oh, what does that say? If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers, oh, only your prayers will be heard sometimes. Is that not what he said, Ernest? He says your prayers will not be heard. Now then, how many men don't treat their wives like that? And how many men don't ever get their prayers answered? They come to God and say, Lord, I got this problem. He says, yeah, you got a problem, all right. You ain't been loving that girl, the one I gave you. You're not treating her like a lady. You're not honoring her, and you're not doing what I told you. He said, until you get right with your wife, don't come to me and ask me for nothing, because I ain't going to answer your prayer. What if you're trying to make a big deal in business? You left home that morning, you was all upset with your wife. She told you, you know, you asked her something, she told you. You know, I think this would be best if we went this route. He said, no, I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it. I ain't listening to you at all. You know, after all, you're just a woman. I ain't listening to you. So you go out and say, okay, God, I got to have some information. How am I going to make this? What kind of deal am I going to make here? Man, heaven is closed. You ain't hearing nothing. I mean, you can't hear from God. Now then, I've heard a lot of men in their life say, you know, they say, you have heard God's voice? I said, oh, yeah. Over 30 times in my life. Have you ever heard it? No. No. Do you know there's, I don't understand all these things about God, but I would say if you're not hearing from God every once in a while, somehow, some way, you need to go back and check out your life to see if you're meeting the criteria of the Scripture. When you're meeting the criteria of the Scripture, I mean, Tom was telling me a while ago, just the other night, the Lord woke him up right in the middle of the night and just called his name. He said, Lord, I'm awake. What do you want? Heard him call his name. See, he's just checking to see if he's awake. Or you see if you're listening. Yes, Lord, I'm listening. That's like this little girl. I was down at a place and she said, when I asked her, there was two beautiful young ladies there, probably in early 20s. I said, have either one of you young ladies ever heard the Lord's voice? One of them said, I've heard it twice. The other one said, I've never heard it. But the one that heard it twice, I said, young lady, would you mind telling me what happened? She said, well, the first time I was only about 4 years old. And I was asleep in my room, and I heard my name call two times. I thought it was Daddy. Sound just like Daddy calling me. She said, I got up and run down the hallway and walked in. I said, Daddy, woke Daddy. I said, Daddy, did you call me? He said, no, honey. What are you up at this? What are you up at this hour for? She said, what, you called my name. He said, no, honey, I didn't call your name. I didn't call you. So she went back down. She crawled in bed. She said, I'll lay there a little while. And I heard my name twice more. And I thought, that's Daddy again. She said, I got up and I ran down the hall and went in Daddy's room, Mother and Dad's room. And I said, Daddy, you called me again. He said, no, I did not. So she said, I don't understand. 4 years old. She goes back up and she gets in her bed. She's laying there and she hears her name called again. And she said, who is this that's calling my name? And he said, it's me. It's God. God. She said, well, Lord, 4 years old. She's raised up in a great Christian family. Mother and Dad loved Jesus with all her heart. Took her to church, read her the Word. Lord, what are you calling me for? He said, it's time for you to make me your Lord and Savior. So she said, I fell off the side of the bed at 4 years of age, by myself, in a room all by myself, with me and Jesus, and I ask Him to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Now then, is that awesome? Is that awesome? God wants to call everybody like that. He wants every one of us to serve Him. But you know, some of us are not willing to do what He says. We're not going to hear His voice because He's not going to call. I remember one night I'm laying there in bed after Cheryl and I got married. She's still out singing and doing things and going, getting ready to go to California. And I heard Chrissy was out at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, getting equipment, a car and all kinds of stuff so they could go out to someplace in California or wherever it was and sing for some big group in a big hotel. And I've been at home studying at night. I got to preach in the next few days, you know. So, and I'm sitting there reading the word until about 12 or 12:30, and I find that, good grief, I'm tired. I'm just going to go to bed. I don't know what time she's going to be at home. So I jumped in there into bed, and I went to sleep. I'd been in there about an hour, maybe a little over an hour. All of a sudden, I heard Thurman. I turned to the right, and I looked, and right there, right in front of my eyes, it was like I was seeing a videotape being played, and I'm in the middle of the night, and I'm seeing my wife drive down 26 in her car. I see her pull off into a car wash, pull in, and as she pulled into that car wash, she gets out of the car. It was muddy, and she grabbed the wand, put some money in, and turned to start to wash the car, and all of a sudden, two men came from either side of this deal and was headed straight for her, and the vision was gone. Man, I'm wide awake. I mean to tell you, I reached over and pushed my cell phone button, and it just said 1:54 a.m. I pushed her button. I said, and it rings. She picked up on the first ring. I said, honey, where are you? She said, I'm on 26. I'm on the way home, but I'm fixing to pull into the car wash and wash the car before I come home. I said, no, not tonight. You're not. Not tonight. I said, I just saw a vision of you being attacked by two men in a car wash on 26. She said, I was going to get gas too, but I ain't even going to stop for gas. She said, I'm coming home. And she come home and we crawled in bed together and we lay there and hugging each other and praising the King for His protection. Does it pay good dividends to serve the living God? Yes. He said, if you'll serve me and love me, I'll even make your enemies be at peace with you. Do you want your enemies to be at peace with you? Do you want your prayers answered? What do you got to do, men? Verse 7. What does it say? And verse 8. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. Finally, all of you should be of one mind, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Is that a pretty good final statement for all of that? Amen. Finally, all of you. How many does that include as the body of Christ? Hey, that's every one of us, isn't it? Every one of us. All of you should be of one mind, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Do you think God wants good for us? He does. If we obey Him, what will He do for us? Anything you ask Him for. And I love being able to pray for people. I love walking in obedience to God's Word. I love knowing these scriptures and doing what they say. Because when my lovely honey bunny and me, just a couple of Saturdays ago, when we had the privilege, I look at that teeny little baby, that granddaughter, little girl, and just like Cheryl said, the little right leg was just turned out like that, you know, and the foot was sticking out instead of straight ahead like the other one. Do you want a child to grow up like that? No. So if you can get things together, yeah, if you would go ahead and get ready. We're going to be ready to baptize you in just a moment. If you are willing to pay the price to walk in obedience to God's Word, if you're a husband, when your wife makes statements to you, should you listen?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. And what kind of an answer should you come back with? Gentle, kind, loving. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
You should never snap at her, right? No. You should be loving and kind. Remember, she's hearing from God too. You know, God's in her too. So don't think you're the only one that has all the answers. Listen to your wife. And if you listen to your wife, I mean, I've been down this trail before in my life when I didn't listen to my wife. You know, I'd look at something and I'd say, no, I'm going to do it this way. And most of the time, if I didn't give it one or two or three days to run around in here before I made the decision, usually if I just made the decision quickly, I made the wrong decision. But when you got a sweet, loving, kind, gentle wife, she'll never come back and say, I told you so. If you'd have done it my way. You know, if you got a sweet one, a loving one, one that's hearing from God, she'll be that gentle, kind woman. Finally, my brethren, we should be in one mind, walking in love. Is that God's way? That's God's way. Now then, we're going to baptize this young lady back here, Ms. Wallace. She's requested since she got saved. She doesn't really realize. I hope I pronounced that right. Onhe, O-N-H-E-E is the way. I mean, that's a different, for a Texas accent, that's a little difficult. But anyway, I'll call her Mrs. Wallace. You know, that's her name. So we're going to baptize her. So I trust that each one of you would just be patient for a moment as she gets ready. She's going to be back there. Or you're already. Okay, then I'm going to go back there and baptize her. She became a Christian earlier, but she's never really been baptized scripturally. See, the Word of God says when we become children of God, we are to show our death, burial, and resurrection to the Lord in water baptism. Now, she's never done that. She's been a Christian for a while, but she wants to now show her love to God, doing what He says to be baptized. So we're going to baptize her right now. So let me take off. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, we got the towels ready and everything. Now then, if we could just get you to step right over in here. I trust that Jane put warm water in that. He did. Okay, now if you get down on your knees, you just get down on your knees like that. There you go. Now then, let's maybe scoot forward just a little bit where I got plenty of room. Okay. Now this is Onhe Wallace. She has made Jesus Lord of her life. She wants to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior by her baptism. And she came to me the other day and talked to me and said, I've been a Christian for a while, but I've never done this scripturally. So I have done this. I trust that you have done this because the Lord requires that all of us that are born again Christians go through the baptismal water to show our death, our burial, and our resurrection to walk in newness of life with Him. And this precious daughter of the King wants to be obedient to that. So now then, you believe that Jesus is your Savior. You've made Him your Lord.
Yes.
And you want to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I raise you to walk in newness of life. Praise the King. Glory. Okay, now then, you've done that. So now if you'll stand up, Cheryl, we'll give you a towel and... You got one there you step out on so you won't slip.
And here's another one.
Step out there on that one. We'll help you. Okay. Now then, praise the Lord. All right. We got this girl baptized. Thank you, Jesus. Let me have just one corner of that. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Praise the Lord. Anybody that anytime you want to be baptized, the Lord tells all of us that are His children that we are to be baptized in water. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank You for this precious day, for Your Word. And, Lord, this Scripture that You've given us about husbands and wives and what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. So, Lord, I hope this message is so clear with the words there that nobody can misinterpret what You said when You told us what to do. Lord, this is You talking. I presented Your Word exactly like You presented it. And, Lord, I'll always honor Your Word and obey it, and I will not compromise on Your Word. So, Lord, if Your Word tells wives to submit to the husbands, husbands to love the wives, that's exactly what You meant.
Amen.
And we're all supposed to submit to You, Lord. So, Lord, we praise You and thank You. Now, Lord, we give You all the praise and glory and honor for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.